And this week, our topic is the abiding word. No, well, the overall topic is the abiding word. And this week, the topic is the seed. And I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about the word of God. Amen. I'm going to try and get through this in a timely fashion. And we are going to be having two more ladies speak to us in the second service. And those of you who had wanted to testify, who had not, I will give an opportunity to do so in the second service. Amen. So, this is part two because of Mother's Day last week. We did not speak about the word. Luke chapter 8:11 tells us something very profound. It tells us that the word of God is like a seed. In fact, it says the seed is the word of God. Amen. And so that is the topic for this aspect of what I'm teaching this morning about the word of God, that it is like a seed. Amen. So our overall focus verse that we've been speaking about is found in John chapter 15 and verse 7. And it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Amen. And the week before that, we went into a lot of detail about that and how we can abide. And this week, I want to try and be more practical and go into a little bit more detail about how that works. And so, when we speak about the Word of God, it comes in many variations and many forms. And I'm just going to give you the main forms, that some of those you've heard before. There's something called the Rhema, or spoken word. And that is really an utterance. When someone in the Bible, or even today through the Holy Spirit, speaks, they speak of that as a Rhema word. So Rhema, when you see it in the New Testament, all of these words are translated the word. But in the Greek, they have slightly different meanings. So when someone has a Rhema word, that is a spoken utterance. The Lord said, or the Lord is going to do. That is an utterance. And then you have the Logos. And of course, that's also translated word. But it really, in the Greek, it means a complete sentence or a thought. Okay? So it's a complete statement is the Logos. It's a thought that captures not just a single word, but a statement or a sentence. I hope you're getting the difference. The Rhema is a spoken utterance. The Logos is a thought, but that if you were to put that thought into a statement, it'd be more than one word. It'd be more than one word. And I'm going to give you examples, but it's a sentence or a statement. And then you have the word that is just a single word, you know, like and, come, go. Those are single words, and in the Greek, the name for that is onoma. So a sentence is made up of single words, right? Sentence is made up of single words, and when you make an utterance, you're speaking a sentence normally, you know, unless you're talking to kids. If you're talking to kids, you say, stop. It's a one-word sentence. But normally, if you're talking to adults, you don't bark at them, right? Hope not. You speak a sentence, a complete thought. And then there's the written word, which is called, where we get the word graphics from, graphical. The written word, or scripture. So there I'm showing you four things in the New Testament that are sometimes translated word, but in the Greek they have slightly different meanings. There's the Rhema, which is the spoken word or utterance. The Logos, which is made up of single words, which is a complete thought, a complete statement of something. And then onoma, which is just a single word. And then the graphe, which is the written word or the written scriptures. So we're going to study some of those today and look at the differences. And then finally, we're going to go to the main topic of this, which is the seed, the planted word. Remember in Genesis, the Bible says that the Lord did what? After he had created and he'd made, the Bible says he planted. And that has always been strange to me, because up to then, what did he do? He spoke. He gave a rhema word. He spoke. But when it came to a place for Adam and Eve to live, the Bible said he planted. He did something physical. So we're going to look at these forms of the word. The rhema, which is the spoken word or an utterance. The logos, which is a complete sentence or a thought that has been put down. And then the anoma, which is just a single word. The graphe, which is a written word. And the seed, which is the planted word. You can't see it, but if it's in there, it will manifest. Amen. So the sequence is you think, we hope, before you speak. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we speak before we thought it out. And usually when that happens, there's always trouble. Right? It's always trouble if you speak before you've thought it out, because you're going to say some things that you wish you could just grab and pull back, but it's too late. It's out there. So the thought comes first, or should. That becomes a word, and then that comes out as an utterance. And when the utterance comes forth, it produces faith. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Remember when I last taught this, I said it was, the thought is related to who? Remember I gave you the three things, the thought, the word, and hearing, and I said they were related in Scripture to, that's right, someone was listening, right? And I quoted Scriptures, famous Scripture, Jeremiah 29, the thoughts that I have to you, it's God speaking, and of course the logos, the sentence, the word is Jesus. And when it comes to hearing and listening, it's always related to the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Now the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, so that faith comes by hearing. So it's when once the word has come forth in an utterance, in a rhema, a spoken word, it brings faith. It brings faith. I can think all kinds of things. I might be in love with you. How are you going to know it? My actions speak. If I don't act it out and I don't speak it out, there's probably no way of you knowing. So the thought, God had thoughts, but for it to bring forth something good, it had to be expressed in the Son. The Bible speaks about Jesus as the image of the invisible God. God's thoughts to us were expressed through his Son. And then when he spoke a word, that brought faith, if you received the words. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see here how the progression is thought, word, and then utterance. And utterance can bring faith. Now, because I'm not going to focus on the written word today, I'm going to just say a little bit about it before we go on. John 7:38 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus. I think Wednesday, there was a man at my workplace who I've been kind of talking to and witnessing to. So I took him out Wednesday for supper, and we had a little Bible study, and he's gotten involved. He was originally a Baptist, and he's gotten involved with, I don't know exactly, I don't think you could call it, I guess it's a church, but he called it some long name, the spiritual mystical body of whatever. And he's a believer, but he's got some really strange beliefs. And this is the scripture that really lays it out, that it's not the fact that you believe, but you have to believe as the scripture hath said. Lots of people believe, but they don't believe the way the written word has said. The written word is our ruler. It's our measuring stick. So that if I get up here and start telling you stuff that I believe, if it's not as hath the scripture said, then you find another church, because what I'm doing is dangerous to your soul. I'm not using the scripture rightly, right? The Bible says we have to rightly divide. Right. So it's not belief in God. Out there, 80%, 90% of the populace believes. Did you have a question? Oh. Sold to that lady over there. She raised her hand. If you do this and start doing this, I'm going to call on you. Okay. So you have to believe as the scripture hath said. That's the key. You can't believe as I think it should go. You know, I look at some of the things God does and I think, well, God, if I was God, I'd do it differently. Come on, be honest. There's things you see happening in the world. If you were God, you'd say, well, that doesn't look right. That doesn't seem fair. See, but we're only seeing a little bit of it. We are only looking at a tiny little bit of God's overall plan. So the written word is there as the guard post. It's there to make sure that preachers don't come up with stuff. But, you know, the trouble is preachers do. Why do people get deceived? That's right. That's right. That's why. Go ahead, Brother Mario. Absolutely. Paul in Acts said about the Bereans, the Hebrews, that they were more noble than the others. You know why? Because they didn't take what Paul was saying. They went and searched it out for themselves. That's why I try and always give you scripture for what I'm telling you. And if I'm telling you something that's my opinion, I try and make it clear, this is my opinion. You don't have to, this is not salvation. You don't have to agree with me. So this is very key. The written word is there to make sure that people don't make up stuff, which they still do. But at least it's there for you to go and check it. You know, you go down on a Saturday morning and there's two people at your door and they want to give you a New World Translation Bible. Just go to John chapter 1 verse 1 and then that will be your test. You can just give it back to them. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was a God. That's what it says, the Word was a God. No, the Word was not a God. The Word was God. You know? So some people, they decide, okay, we're going to write our own scriptures. The Mormons, Book of Mormon. So this is very key. The written word is there so that people, if you want, can go and check stuff for yourself and make sure that the word matches up with what I'm telling you. So Jesus made it very clear. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, that person, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that's extremely key scripture because people make up stuff all the time. One of the things he was telling me is that Jesus was in Adam. You know, he gave me some convoluted trail of scripture to try and prove that Jesus was in Adam. And I said, if Jesus was in Adam, Adam would not have sinned. Because, you know, he tried to say how the scripture says that Jesus was the second man, Adam. And I said, yes, but the difference is this. And that's why you have to study your Bible. So that when Satan comes to you in the guise and telling you nonsense, you can say, it is written. That you can use the graphe, the written scriptures. I was able to tell him, the difference was, the Bible says about Jesus is that he was obedient to the cross. Adam was disobedient. That's what Romans says, right? By one man, sin entered because of one man's disobedience. So you can't tell me Jesus was in Adam because Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me. You know, so you have to study the Bible. Maybe this January, when we start again, we'll start up the Bread program again. That's a program where you read through the whole Bible in 1 year. And I hope you are reading through your Bible because people will come and tell you all kinds of stuff. He was kind of surprised because he thought he was going to, he told me he'd been in this Bible school for 20-something years. But when I was finished with him, he had nothing to say. Nothing to say because he could not answer the word. Not me, the word. All I did with him was take him to the word. He said baptism was not necessary. And he said all baptism was only in the Old Testament. It was not necessary. So I said to him, okay, Matthew 28:19, Jesus commanded his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost. Of course, we know what that means. But he commanded baptism because he was saying, he brought the scripture. You know, the devil knows scripture too. The devil knows scripture. So he brought the scripture that says when John baptized with water, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Trying to show that you only need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the baptism in Jesus' name. You don't need a water baptism. So I said to him, quoting Matthew 28:19, I said, so who baptizes with the Holy Spirit? He said, well, God does. So I said, well, therefore, when Jesus commanded his disciples to go and baptize, it must have been water then, right? Because he couldn't tell them to baptize with the Holy Spirit since you just said only God does that. So when I said that, he just shut up. Amen. You have to know the written scriptures. Jesus said, it is written, graphe, that man shall not live by bread alone. And then it changes, but by every word. Now it's speaking of the rhema. See, in the Greek, it's using all three of these for different, slightly different meanings. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by for every rhema, because he said it is written, that's the graphe, but by every rhema, utterance that comes out of the mouth of God. So the scriptures is there to make sure that men don't invent stuff. Now, it doesn't stop them, they still will. But it's our duty then to search the scriptures. Jesus told his disciples, search the scriptures because they what? Speak of me. You will find Jesus in nearly every part of the Bible. Every part of the Bible. So we see that the next part is the rhema, the utterance. And I just said it, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, by every utterance. That's why the Bible doesn't say God thought the worlds into existence. The Bible said God said. He made an utterance. The rhema word that came out is the action that comes from the thought. So we live by God's pronouncements because I live, you shall live. When you have that rhema word in you, you're going to live. Because if he said, let there be, and it was so, if God said, because I live, you shall live also, then you should get happy. You should believe it. You should let that utterance build faith in your life. Amen. Jesus in John 6:63 said, the words that I speak, remember, rhema is an utterance, they are spirit and they are life. When Jesus speaks to you, when there's an utterance, and that's why I have been saying, you got to speak. You can't think it. You should speak it out. You've got to put it out into the air. You've got to make that thought become a sound. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the rhema, differing from the written, is the actual speaking. It's the action of making a declaration. I shall live and not die. You know, when the devil starts to get on me, I speak it, I say, sin shall not have dominion over me. I speak it to the air. When the devil comes to tempt me, I just speak it out. I say, sin shall not have dominion. That's speaking it out. You need to make declarations, even to yourself. I was speaking to someone yesterday who was in the, I don't know what the right word is, in the downs, and they were pretty depressed. And sometimes we can get so, the world has a word for it, navel gazers. You know what that is? Anyone know what that means? When you're a navel gazer? It means you're just consumed with your own problems. You're just looking at your belly button. That's all you can see. That's what a navel gazer is. If you haven't heard that, now you've heard it. You got a new word. A navel gazer. All they do is look at their belly button and woe is me. Woe is me. I'm going through more than anybody else. The world is just, everybody's against me. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I've got it worse than anybody else. Even Jesus didn't have it as bad as me. Sometimes we can get into that kind of, and instead of saying words of, we speak words of discouragement to ourselves. We tell ourselves how bad it is and why God has left us and how, you know, it's not, life isn't good. As if we are going through the worst. We are not going through the worst. There's people who are actually being tortured, you know, who are being beaten, who have had their children killed in front of them. Don't get, and I'm guilty of it. I'm speaking to myself. Don't start whining about how bad it is and, you know. And they don't believe. So sometimes after I've tried to comfort somebody, I'm going to just tell them like it is. Wait a minute now. I've had my teeth pulled. I've had, root canal, you know. And some people, all they want is continual sympathy. You know, they're just looking at themselves as if this is the worst and nobody loves me and nothing's going good in my life. And what they're doing is they're making a negative utterance. And that gets into your soul. So I told this person when I first called them, I said, you know what? David knew how to deal with this kind of thing. The Philistines had come and taken his children and his wives and all of his soldiers' family and taken them all away. And nobody had a good word to say to David. In fact, they were grumbling. They were saying, man, we should get rid of this leader. We need to stone him. The Bible says, and you all know, what did David do? He encouraged himself. Sometimes you're not going to get a phone call from pastor. Nobody's going to call you. You can stay there gazing at your navel and saying how bad life is and what a terrible time it is and you got it worse than anybody else, which is not true. But you're going to say that. So finally I had to tell this person, hey, come on now. You're not really suffering. You're not the only one that's been through this. Yes, you've had some bad stuff, but you're not the only one. You know, all they did was focus on their situation and how they've tried. This has failed and their life is a failure and it's, you know, and there would be a million people who would swap with that person right now. There'd be a million people who would swap with that person right now. You know, and so then a little bit later, that person called me back and they were even more in the negative. And, you know, basically, when I die, please give this to this person, give this to that person. I said to them, well, what are you planning to do? You're going to step in front of a train? Well, no, but, oh, my goodness. We got to quit that. We need to make an utterance that praises God, that lifts him up. It's not a matter of what I'm going through. I'm not going through anything. Not really. Not really. I'm not going through anything. In fact, that's why I keep saying to you guys, you have to tell yourself that you are blessed and highly favored, which is the truth. Which is the truth. My wife was playing a song last night that she found. And she didn't think I liked it, so she kept on saying, listen to the words, listen to the words. And it was a really great song. I hope she finds a way to do it with the praise team or something. But it was all about the fact that God never promised you, as the song says, a rose garden. He never promised you a red carpet and a picket fence and everything to be perfect. But he promised I would never leave you nor forsake you. If you will get out of the negative and speak words of life, make a positive rhema statement to yourself. Bible said David encouraged himself. Who remembers, I said this before, I said, how do you think David encouraged himself? Yes, but what do you think, we don't know exactly what he said, but I threw out a few things I think he could have said. What do you think he could have said to encourage himself? Okay, yes, he did write the Psalms. But remember now, how did he encourage himself the time before when he went to fight Goliath? That's right. He recalled the past victories. That's how you encourage yourself. I've faced this situation before. I've been through this before. I've been broke before. I've had it when my car doesn't work before. I've had it when a family member's, you know, messing up before. I've had to deal with the children before. I'm still here. See, this is what you do. You don't start, as I said, navel gazing and saying, this is nobody has had it as bad as me. Isn't that what we do? We get into this situation where we just, man, nobody's going through what I'm going through. Nobody's going. That's the devil. That's the devil. Because it's not true, first of all. It's not true. We have not resisted unto death. I'm going to move off that because this person last night, they just refused to be encouraged. They just wanted the devil to, you know, have his way. But the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life, not death, life. And so it's the utterance is the word that you have to speak. You're down, you start speaking to the air. Doesn't care if people think you're crazy. Not only will the spirits leave you, but all the people around you will better leave him alone. He's speaking to himself. Amen. Speak some words out into the air. It's like off for Satan. See, look at this. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians church. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every rhema, every word be established. What he's saying is this. Don't just speak one word. Speak several. Because he's saying, I'm writing to you again to establish what I said before. And I'm using that application right now to say, you need to make more than one word. Don't just speak one time. Keep on using the word. Let there be, and it was said, even God didn't just think the world into existence. The Bible specifically says he spoke. He spoke. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every spoken word, rhema word, be established. I'm going to give you some more examples. Who was here Tuesday night when I taught about the, what did I teach about Tuesday night? What's coming up? What day did I say it was? Pentecost. Okay. And I said to you, I didn't give you the scripture, but I said to you that on the day of Pentecost, when they went up to the mountain, there was a voice and there was a trumpet. There was an utterance, a rhema word. Well, here it is in Hebrews. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. See, on the day of Pentecost, the very first day of Pentecost, there was also a trumpet, which is what I was telling you Tuesday night, that don't bet that the rapture is just on the Feast of Trumpets, because there was also trumpets that sounded on the day of Pentecost. And the sound of a trumpet and, guess what? The voice of words, an utterance. Which voice that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken? When they heard the word in the Old Testament, it was too much for them. At first, they're all demanding, listen, we don't need a pastor. I got the Holy Ghost. God speaks to me. We don't need a pastor. I'm gonna go up the mountain. Who are you, Moses, to tell us what to do? So as they got close to the mountain, guess what happened? God said, you want to speak to me? Okay, I'm going to speak to you. And there was an earthquake and a thundering and a voice so loud that they said, okay, Moses, you got it. We'll back off. We don't need to hear that word anymore. The sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated. They begged Moses, okay, you go up to God for us. They asked, please don't let him try and speak to us directly because we can't take that rhema word. But this just shows you that the rhema is the utterance, the action, the voice of God when he's declaring something. And we need a rhema word. We need all of them, but I'm going to show you all of them. We need an utterance. And if we don't hear it from the pastor, you're going to have to speak it yourself. You're going to say, I shall live and not die. When you get up tomorrow morning, whatever you're facing, you declare some things. Speak it into the atmosphere. Amen. So that's the rhema, it's the utterance. Now the logos, which is also translated word, is the thought or it's a statement that is complete. It's not just a single word, but it's a complete statement. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. If you don't have a Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, you know you've picked up the wrong one if it doesn't say it like that. Their translation will say, a God. Don't know where they get that from. So we see that the logos, the word that's translated logos, means a complete statement, whether written or spoken. It's the complete thought. So when in Jeremiah it says, I know the thoughts. means is God's got a complete plan. It's not just a halfway thing. He's got the complete thought, the completed work ready for you. All you have to do is have that thought expressed. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 24:32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. He was using an analogy. In Scripture, anytime you see the fig tree, it is symbolic of Israel. So he was saying this, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, that means when the fig tree starts to bud, starts to bear fruit, he was saying, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. He was teaching his disciples about his coming. Verily I say unto thee, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words. In this case, the word there is logos. That means my complete plan shall not pass away. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my complete plan is not going to pass away until everything is fulfilled. When God has got a logos thought for you, that's something great. That means he's got a complete statement. It's not just a, you know, like you're talking to kids. Here, stop, go. He's got a whole plan for you. He's got a whole book. He's got a complete plan. It's a completed thought. I know the thoughts I have. Thoughts to bless. Thoughts to increase. Thoughts to give you life. Amen. He's got a completed thought for you. All you have to do is receive it. He says, but my words, and in this case it's logos, or the completed thought, and plan shall not pass away. Heaven and earth is going to disappear before God's plans pass away. Not until they're completed. Let me show you the progression. Because as I said, thoughts have to become words to become actions. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever ye do in word, and it's the logos this time, or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. One of the things I spoke to that man about in baptism. Because he was saying, you don't have to be baptized. So I said, well, then why did Paul make all those disciples of John get baptized again if it's not necessary? Again, he couldn't say anything. Because God has a complete plan for salvation. You can't halfway do it. A plane won't fly with one wing. It could be in perfect shape. The engine could be good. But unless you got both wings on the plane and all the other parts, some things don't work. You can't halfway obey God. Did you know that? He's looking for perfect obedience. We want the perfect blessing. We want all that God's got for us. But have we done all that he wants from us? Have we showed obedience? Have we showed love? Have we let that thought become a word and an utterance that we're receiving? So the scripture says that it's not just thoughts. As I said, I could love someone, but if I never tell them, you know, for a long time, I said nothing to my wife. I just kind of followed her around when we were dating because I hate rejection. I hate disappointment. So I was scared to say anything for a long time. You know, we were just in the youth group. So, but I was always had my eye, you see, looking. But I was scared to be honest because I thought she's so holy and righteous. She's not thinking about marriage or dating. She just has no such thoughts. She's just in the word. That's all, you know. That's all she's doing is wanting to be a Christian. She's not looking for. So for a longest time, I said nothing. But I'm sure she picked up on my puppy dog expression. But she didn't give me a word either. So there you go. But before something can become real, it's got to be expressed. So God doesn't just keep his thoughts as thoughts. He spoke life. He speaks. He lets you know. You know, my dad used to tell the story of this man who was married for 30-something years. And his wife said, you never tell me you love me anymore. And he said, well, I told you 30 years ago, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. You know, some of us are like that with God. We told him we love him and that's it. But if you're in love, Barry White, love, it will show. You're not just going to keep it in your head. You know, it takes me a long time to write Bible studies and to do scriptures, but I love doing it. So it's not like it doesn't even come like work. If it was something else, I couldn't do it. The time it takes, I couldn't stay up, hours doing it. But because I love God's word and I want to do it, it doesn't come like work. Anything you love does not become work to you. It's stuff that you don't want to do is work. Man, I got to clean out the garbage again. You know, I got to do this. I got to wash the dog. I got to whatever. When you don't want to do it, even something that is simple becomes like a huge chore. It could be really something simple, but you just keep looking at it and you pass it. You know, your wife has told you to do something. I'll tell on myself. You know, she'll put the garbage right at the stairs so that I can't miss it. Somehow I miss it. And she'll move it a little bit closer to the stairs. Till eventually, if I don't do something about it, it's right in my way. I have to do something. Confession is good for the soul. Amen. You know, but we can't talk about loving God unless we're doers. But ye are doers of the word. So the word there, logos, has got to be an action once it has come out, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. People think just because they come to church, it's okay. I come to church. But you can't stop at just coming to church. You have got to also be a doer of the word. Amen. We're going to run out of time. But anyway, so the other translation for logos, sometimes it's translated as sayings or say instead of word. Because as I said, it's a complete sentence. Look at this, Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Now, that's a word we want to receive, right? Don't you want to receive that word, that God has set before you an open door? For now, here's the key. For thou hast a little strength. Doesn't take a lot of strength. And has kept my logos, my sayings, my word, and has not denied my name. How do we deny his name? Right. In our actions, right? You go to work tomorrow and nobody knows anything about your Christian walk. You're actually denying his word. Right? If nobody knows anything about you after a while, that's kind of a shame. After a while, they should know, you know, people say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that in front of you. I'm sorry, Mike's here, okay, we got to change the conversation. It's not that I'm holier than anybody else, but they know that I'm going to give them a card. I'm going to say, why don't you come to church? I'm not telling them I'm holy. All I'm saying, they know immediately I believe in God that I go to church. You see, we must make sure we're not denying his name in our actions, because that is actually keeping the word. Remember, we have to keep the word. Thou hast kept my word. Jesus said, because you have not denied me, I'm not going to deny you. When you call upon him, he's going to say, that's my Philadelphia church. They had a little strength. I'm going to listen to them. They're calling on me. They have put out for me. They have kept my word. They have not denied. Back then, if you were a Christian, you know what you were doing? You were in fear of your life. They were going to hunt you, put you in prison, stone, like what's happening in Iraq and Iran. They would bring you before a judge and say, shut up, stop speaking about Christ, else we're going to execute you. What will we do then? But the Bible said they had a little strength and hath not denied my name and has kept my logos, my sayings. My saying, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. Amen. Just hurry now. But now sometimes there's just one word, and you know I've quoted this so many times. In scripture, it's just anoma, a single word. Matthew 14:24. You know this story, the ship, they had left Jesus in the mountain praying, and they were on the Sea of Galilee, and a huge storm came up, and they were getting fearful. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Do you feel like this sometimes? Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. You're trying to get here, and it just seems like everything you're doing is going the other direction. It's like you're not making any progress. Sometimes I just look at certain aspects of my life, and I say, man, I planned this out. It was supposed to go this way, and then this thing happened and just blew that plan to bits. Okay, all right, got that. Let's make another plan. We want to get to here. Then something else will happen, and it's like you're not going anywhere. This was the situation, and in fact, more than that, they felt they were going to get sunk. They were in fear for their lives. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. This is about 3 a.m. I assume it must have been a full moon night because they were able to see him. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and cried out for fear. Now, the amazing thing about this scripture is it goes on to say in the other scripture that he would have walked right past them. Yes, it is amazing. He was going to walk right past them. You know why? It was a test. A test. A test. It says he was going to walk right past them. Do you feel like that sometimes? But because they were fearful, they cried out. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered and said unto him, "Lord," he wasn't sure, "if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus gave him one word, "Come, come." This is an example of one word that Jesus gives you, "Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The truth is, do you believe it? Now, after he received the word, he had asked for the word. Most of the times we ask, "Lord, please use me. I want the gift of healing. I want the gift of prophecy." And then Jesus gives it to you. Then you get scared. You know, a word comes to you for someone, and you're scared to go and actually tell them. It's funny, isn't it? You've been praying for God to use you, and then he actually gives you what you asked for, and then you go, "Well, I don't know about this." "Don't know about this." "Don't know about this, Lord." I mean, that's exactly like the children of Israel coming up to Mount Sinai. They demanded, they wanted a one-on-one with God. But then when the word did come, "No, you do it, Moses. You be the pastor. We don't really want to see God's face because we're scared." And this was the test for Peter. He had asked to come on the water. You know what? I'm almost thinking, I wonder if he really believed God would tell him that. Maybe he was just saying that for he wanted Jesus to come to them. And then Jesus said, "Okay, come." Come. I guess Peter then looked at the other disciples, and now he put his foot in it. And so he stepped out the boat. But still, that took an act of faith. Because as I've said this before, if I told one of you, "Come and sit in this chair," you'd all look at me like crazy, right? Why? You can't see the chair here? Have faith. You'd say, "Well, we'll have faith in God, but you're not God," right? But if Jesus said, "Come and sit in this chair," what would we do? You really think you'd come and run and sit in this chair? All right, okay. Well, you know what will happen tonight? Jesus may come to you and say, "Okay." He may give you a rhema word. He may give you an utterance. And it may not be like this invisible chair, but he may tell you to do something you didn't want to do now. You've all declared, "Yes, I would do it. I wouldn't crucify him. I will be with you at the cross. When they come to arrest you, I'm going to be there." Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Jesus has already given us this one word. The word is already out there. What are you going to do? You're going to look at the other disciples like, "Well, I didn't think he was actually speaking to me. I thought he would give it to someone else." Because the word is never coming to you. It's always for the person behind you, right? It wasn't me. But as I said so many times, the beauty of the apostles was when he said, one of you can betray me, they all said, is it I? All of them thought, you know what? It could be me. So one of the aspects of the word abiding is just this. God has told us come. And we're thinking we have to hear another word. But he's already given us the word. He's not going to give us another word because his word is not going to come back to him void. It's for us now to step out of our boat and act upon the word. And as long as Peter kept on looking at Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our, that word sustained him. I know that some years ago God gave me that word. He said, I've allowed you to walk on water. And I'm not saying this boastfully. You just don't know some of the things God has done for me. You just don't. I can't even tell you some of the things God has done for us. But people looking will think, how are they able to do that? It's the word, the one word. You just have to have that word. As he's told you, come, you can get out of your boat. The key is, though, got to keep looking at Jesus. If you start looking around and saying, man, I don't know how I'm doing this, then you will start to sink. But looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to try and hurry here. So that's the word so far. We've discussed rhema, logos, anoma. Now I want to show you what Jesus said about the seed. Mark 4:3. Hearken, listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now, you've all heard this story so many times, but it's speaking actually about the word. You're receiving a word today. You're receiving a word. Now, what you do with it is very important. Not because I'm speaking it, but it is a good word because it is scripture. It is an utterance. Now, who do you think the birds are? Brother Mario. Well, it's not God. God wouldn't come and steal his own word. It is the devil. But you know, the devil doesn't come up to you with a pitchfork and horns and a red tail. Right. But who is the birds? Who's going to come and steal your word today? Not yet. Not yet. He makes three different characters. First, we're talking about the birds. Let's learn something here today. Who is the birds going to? I'll tell you. It's people. See, the devil isn't going to appear to you when you go out there with pitchfork and horns and a red tail. Else you'd know it was the devil. You'd either run or rebuke him, right? You'd say, in the name of Jesus. But the devil is much cleverer than that. He's going to come to you in the form of people. And you're going to tell him, man, I had a good word today. And then he'll start telling you, well, you know, this and this and... Or say something, they'll just suck that word out. Before you're finished, you're all depressed. You've forgotten all about what the pastor said. You know, so there's one key. Mary, when the word came to her, that she was going to, that she was special, that she was chosen. What did she do? What does the Bible say she did? She went and blabbed it to everyone. Bible says she pondered, meditated about the word in her heart. Sometimes when you leave church, it's best to just be, you know. You go home to family and they just start up something. And all that joy, that peace, that well-being you had, the birds have come and taken it. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and devoured. You know why? Because they never buried it. For a seed to take root, you got to cover it up. The Bible said when the angel came and said all this stuff to Mary, she said she pondered these things in her heart. She could have gone and said, guess what? Guess what? I am going to be the vessel for the Messiah. You think she went and told everyone? First of all, they would have probably stoned her. Sometimes the word is just for you. You can't explain it to someone else. She pondered the word in her heart. So make sure you meditate upon the word, you bury it, before you start telling it, because someone will just come and snatch it away. So the birds are people. Well, it's really Satan, but you know, he works through people. The word, again, that bears no fruit, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. We've had people come, first time they came, they get such a blessing, and you think, man, great, they're going to be back. Never see them again. Stony ground. It sprang up because it had no depth of earth, and when the sun was up, what's the sun? What is it speaking about in verse? It scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Well, I'm going to tell you, trials, tribulation, stuff is going to happen. You've had a great Sunday service. You go out there, stuff starts to happen. You know, you lose your purse. You go in Monday morning, and your boss writes you up. The car won't start. You're late. You get a flat. Stuff is going to happen. But if you've got a root, if you're grounded, you'll understand that God didn't bring these things into your life. It is Satan. Amen. No endurance. That's what this means. Because the word was not buried. See, if you have been continually burying the word, Satan, you know some of these squirrels and other animals that have to survive through the winter, you know what they do when they find all these nuts and stuff? What do? Yeah, they look around, you see them in the garden, they'll go and they'll dig it down and they'll bury it and put it, because they don't want no one else to come and steal it. They have more sense than us. We need to bury this word. You need to think about this. How can I put this into practice? How can I get a rhema word? How can I declare some things into my life? You should be thinking about this. So when you leave here, the first thing you do when you leave there says, I am blessed and highly favored. Amen. You speak that out in the atmosphere. When temptation comes, you say, sin shall not have dominion over me. Amen. Because he's promised that he's going to bring every thought into captivity. You quote these scriptures to yourself. Amen. So no endurance because the word was not buried. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. You know, some of us are under some heavy burdens. We got, you know, it's just life. We got things to deal with that just because we come to church and get blessed, those things are not going to disappear. You still have to go back, face the family, deal with all kinds of financial crises. Those things are not going to disappear. But listen, don't let those choke out your spirit, the word. Don't let it choke away your joy. Don't let it choke away your blessing, cares of life. I'm trying to hurry here. But then there was the word that got buried. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. The key to that is when you have buried the word and meditate upon it. I'm going to find a scripture for myself. I'm going to get my personal blessing scripture that I'm going to speak out every day. Amen? I've been saying that, and it's so key. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to try and do it myself. I'm going to speak a scripture. Anytime I'm getting in trouble, I'm going to say, it is written. It is written. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. Anytime I get depressed, I'm going to say, their perfect love casteth out fear. When I get fearful, when I see these bills or something, I'm going to start finding a word to speak out. I'm going to do like David. I told this person yesterday, I said, so who's supposed to encourage me? Who can I call? You know, who do I call? So I said to them, look, come on now, pull yourself together. You understand, you're not going through, this is common. The Bible says that we are, why think it's strange? The fiery trials, tribulation. We are going to go through some stuff. Amen. But if we got that word, the planted word, this is the difference. You hear the utterance, then you got to bury it. You got to take that word and make sure it gets into your system. You replay it to yourself. You do the podcast. Go listen to it again in the week if you get depressed. Amen. See, this was the reason that God planted in the garden. I have a whole Bible study that I'll teach again. But the reason he didn't speak this time is that this word was food for the body. You need food for the soul, but you also need a word that's going to feed your spiritual body. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he formed. And he told them that everything that he had planted was what? good for food. Good for food. The word is all good. There's no bad word of God. Amen. Even correction is good word of God. Thy rod and thy staff, they're a comfort to me. Amen. Even when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, amen, thy rod and thy staff, you will not leave me alone. So even a correction word is good word. Amen. You see, Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. We have to have not only the logos, which is the complete statement. We have to have the rhema, which is the utterance. We have to have the word, the onoma, which is the one word come. But we also have to take all of that now and have that planted. If you're, you know, we were out there trying to get these roots. And for some reason, weeds make sure you can't pull them up very easy. It's just the devil. You know, you grab hold of it and it just wants to not come. The only way to get, you have to, they're rooted. Satan now knows how to root. So we need, the Bible says in Colossians 2:7, let's stand rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. So when stuff comes, you may bend, but you're not going to break. You know, storms of life will come. There will be trials and tribulations. But if you've got that word planted as a seed, not just the thought now, not just the utterance, but you've got to have that word planted. Mary, don't go blabbing now. The angel didn't say anything here, but the Bible said she pondered, meditated. Wow, what a word. He said, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, some people, you go tell them that, they start looking at you. You can't tell them everything God has told you. You can't share everything God has got for you. Because like the birds, they just want to steal that blessing out of your heart. But when God has told you that you're blessed and highly favored, I've got a rhema utterance for you, that you're my daughter and I love you. And no matter what storm you're going through, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I'm going to take you through. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, didn't we throw three people in there? We threw three people in the fire. In fact, we made it hotter than ever. The devil will try and make your fire hotter than ever. But if you will have that rhema word, if you'll have the logos, if you'll have that word. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar, you may be able to kill us, but we're not going to bow down and worship you. They uttered a rhema word of faith. And even though God did not save them from the fire, he saved them in the fire. God can save you in the fire. Hey, didn't we throw three people in there? How come I see four? And one of them looks like a son of God. God honors faith. Use the word. Declare some things. Play back this message if you need to. He's got a thought that is a complete sentence, a complete plan for your life. Bury it deep. Amen. We're going to close this Sunday schools, but I hope you have been blessed. I hope you've been fed. Don't let them birds get to it now. Don't let them birds come and steal it away. Just meditate upon it. Declare victory. Declare victory, because he that is with you is greater than he that is out there. He that is with you is greater than those that are in the world. Amen. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just thank you for your logos. We thank